At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Lombardi Line with Michael Lombardi and Patrick Maher on VSiN.
Okay, it is the Lombardi Line as we welcome you back here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Of course, we're presented by BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. Go to BetMGM.com, download the BetMGM app right now. Michael Lombardi there in Jersey, one thing I will tell you about the Kentucky Derby, tomorrow is Kentucky Oaks Day, 100% chance of rain. That's what Matt liked to go to on Friday.
Matt never saw the Oaks. He was smashed before the Oaks even kicked off. I mean,
that's my son
about the Derby, and he won't even know anything about the Derby. He was bourbon dipe by the time the Oaks played. Thank God for my daughter-in-law, because she got him around and got him there. But yeah, I mean, once you get a little bourbon going with the man, it's not going to be pretty. The Oaks barely made it. The next day, he was recovering.
So Kentucky Oaks Day is Friday, which is the girls when
all
they
rain,
run.
Patrick?
100% chance. Then
is there a mudder in this course? Is there a mudder in this field?
Zandon has won on a wet track. Epicenter has won on a wet track. But Michael, 14 of the 20 horses have never run on a wet track because, again, they're so lightly raced. They're just 3 years old coming into it. So
right.
The first thing you do when you start hearing about a wet track or a slop track is you go to pedigree, right? And you go to see mm-hmm. how the mom, the dad, the lineage has fared on a wet track. And looking through it, you know, Gunrunner is the dad of Taba, and Gunrunner was a great horse of the year a few years back. He loved the slop. So you start kind of digging through. Uncle Mo Donegal, you see right there, the one hole. Now, the one hole, think about it this way. A lot of people love that horse you see, Mo Donegal, post one. The problem there, the last winner out of post one was 1984 in Ferdinand.
Wow.
Because as we've talked about, they also have never run in field sizes this big. They're running in field sizes of 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, but never 20. So when these horses right. get out there and you come out the gate and it's just mass chaos and bumping, a lot of them just don't have the temperament to handle it, and they'll just, you know, fall back. And when they fall back, they take a bunch of mud in the face if it's wet, and that completely demoralizes them.
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, and so when you're looking at this, what is the ideal post position? Is it, you know, Messier with 8-1 at the sixth post?
6 is good. 10 is perfect. So
10 is perfect.
And I have the stats.
Zandon's 3-1 at the 10th post.
And that's why.
How about White Arbaro?
White Arbaro is tremendous. And the 15 hole historically has been a really, really profitable post for bettors, not just winning, but also hitting the board. White Arbaro is going to be on my tickets. If I wasn't picking Taba, I would pick White Arbaro. Won 4 times down at Gulfstream, won the Florida Derby. Very professional. If you're watching the broadcast, it's the most gorgeous horse you're ever going to see. It's completely white, you know, gray, but whitish. And I would say White Arbaro, the 15 horse at 10-1, is the most professional, meaning can do anything, can rate, can be on the lead, can come from behind. It's a very good horse. I don't know if he's fast enough, Michael, but he's very good.
You know what I didn't realize in doing research on Secretariat was that the owners can't just automatically name the horse. Like, it's got to go to the racetrack commission to get approval.
Yes.
It was the second set of three names before Secretariat became Secretariat. He was Big Red up until that point, you know, and I didn't realize that these names, because they seem so attached to the ownership group and all that, was so difficult to choose.
Well, think about how many horses in 150 years have been named. So you can't name a horse. You can't replicate a name from the past. So it has to go
Secretariat
through.
Two. You don't want to be Secretariat Two.
So it's oftentimes you'll see it named after its pedigree. Like Mo Donegal, the one horse there, is named after Uncle Mo. Uncle Mo, Mo Donegal, that type of thing. You often see that. Tis the Bomb is...
And Epicenter is his bloodlines. The trainer is what?
I'm glad you brought up the trainer. That he has the most wins in North American racing history, Steve Asmussen, but he's never won the Kentucky Derby. So,
and why is that, Patrick? Has he not just run this race enough?
First off, you know, getting into the race is one thing. Getting into the race and having the horse be sound. But just, again, they've never gone a mile and a quarter. They've never seen field sizes like this. They've never seen crowd sizes like this. So much can go wrong. And he's had bad luck. But he thinks, he had a quote, I believe it was 2 days ago. I've got the best horse. I'm not concerned about my post. So he's feeling himself coming into it.
That's what Secretariat's trainer said, too.
Lauren?
Lauren, he thought he had the best horse, too. But, you know, I mean, and it proved out to be correct. So I want to go back because I'm naive in this field,
sure,
and I want to learn from you. Is, like, when you say they're not ready for this, what are these three-year-olds, what length have they been running before this?
Mile and six, so this is 10 furlongs. I'll make it simpler. The most you're going to run coming into this is, you know, a nine, like Santa Anita Derby is 9 furlongs. A furlong is... football field, you want to put it that way? So if you think about it, the distance, because sprinters go 6 furlongs. This is 10 furlongs. So some horses are bred to just simply have that spurt, the sprint. And then some horses are bred for the distance. This is a mile and a quarter. The prep races leading into the Kentucky Derby, Michael, none of them go a mile and a quarter. Now, they train for a mile and a quarter, but, you know, there's a difference between training and actually running a race. Here's the best way to explain it. When you see a horse race and you see the horse continue to run and the jockey continue to work the horse after the finish line, it's because he's setting them up for the next race that is going to be longer. So some of these Derby preps that are shorter than the Kentucky Derby, you'll see the jockey continue to race the horse because he's trying to condition him for the Kentucky Derby length.
Right. And so when we're watching the prelims, and I'm sure we'll have Saturday somebody on, the practice sessions, how much can you actually observe from their practice sessions and what can you learn from that?
That's a great question.
If you set me to a football team's practice on Friday, I would learn a lot. Like, I could tell you whether they're going to be ready to play or not.
So the reason Zandon is 3-1, which is an underlay, meaning he should not be 3-1. The reason Zandon is 3-1 is because he's been a, quote, monster in the workouts. So the people that are on the track watching the workouts, what are you looking for in a workout? When he's on the bridle, meaning when you see a horse and they're like chewing on the bridle and they're bowed over, so it's almost like they're bowed, they're pulling the jockey, meaning they want to go. That's called being keyed up. When a horse is really keyed up, but not overly, where they're just kind of, they really want to grab the bridle and go during practice, that's when bettors are like, okay, there's something about the way this horse is working out. When the horse is laconic and kind of just floating and doesn't really want to run, you can tell in a workout that he's just not into it. But when a horse is really chewing on that bridle, like Zandon's been doing, and looks really into the training, those are the horses that get bet leading up to the race.
So when take me through the betting prospect of this. So if there's 20 horses declare for the Derby. What's the original line set for that based on the training sessions or based on their past performance? Because the Chad Brown horse that basically we were just talking about, Zandon, Chad Brown trained him. He had done a pretty good job in the couple races before. So is it the leading up? Is that where the number comes from?
That's a perfect question. So first off, Chad Brown, discuss him, New York guy. He's the best turf horse trainer in North America. You know, the difference between dirt and turf. He always wins on the turf. Turf is a lot about the late kick. He just has a knack for training horses on the turf. Chad Brown has been close, but he is going to be a Hall of Famer. He's never won the Kentucky Derby either. He is the trainer of Zandon, the favorite. How do they set the morning line? It's called the morning line. That number comes out on Monday of the Kentucky Derby week after the post draw. You can't set these numbers until there's a post draw because the post matters so much to the odds. So as soon as post draw hits, there is a person there at Churchill Downs, I forget his name, that immediately sets the odds based on exactly what you said, PP, past performances, and then how they've been training that week. So the person that's setting the morning line takes into account what you just said, the training, and then also the past performances. So it was surprising. The best horse coming in is Epicenter. You see him at 3, 7-2. Mm-hmm. He's been the most consistent just on the racetrack. And in Louisiana, he took on very deep fields. But the horse that has been training the best is the 10, the Chad Brown Zandon. And so he was the morning line favorite after the post draw on Monday.
And then how much rest will they get between the last practice run and when they actually run the race?
You won't see they're not going to push them from this point forward. There's some trainers that do it a little bit differently that will get a workout in today, but there's not going to be any hard workouts tomorrow. So you pretty much have your workouts done because then they want them to have a couple of day break in between that last push of a work and then Saturday, the day of the race. The problem with the day of the race, Michael, is the race is at 7 o'clock at night. Yeah. And, you know, it's just like you as a human being, you and I are both morning people. Like some of these horses are morning horses and they got to wait around all day. So you train that way.
That could be a problem. Their psyche, they're staying. I mean, I'm sure the accommodations are perfect for these horses, but it isn't like they're watching television. I mean, you know, what are they doing? You know, they just standing there waiting.
I know this sounds weird, but I did a preview show with Sean King, and we taped last night at 5:30. I swear to God, I was falling asleep. Such an old man. And I thought about the horses. I was like, I'm not very good tonight on this broadcast, but because you and I are so used to doing them so early.
Right.
So what they'll do is they'll fly these horses in early to Churchill Downs and they'll train the horses later in the day to get them conditioned to be ready to go off post time, 6:57 Eastern Standard Time. I love talking about, you know, Michael, if you ask me any, we could keep going.
I love
By the way,
I
Messier is named after Mark Messier, the hockey player.
I figured that.
Because he is a Canadian bred horse. We're back here on the Lombardi Line.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if... No. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, VP Kentucky Derby, here you go. Kentucky Derby special, $9.99. Check out the betting guide. This is incredible because it's not just about what Michael and I were discussing, that being the Run for the Roses and the Kentucky Derby, but it's the whole race card. So make sure you check it down. Breaks down the horses, the jockeys, the best bets. VSiN.com/derbyguide. It's VSiN.com/derbyguide. Okay. We welcome you back here, Lombardi Line. He's Michael Lombardi. I'm Patrick Maher. And we head out to Circa, where our other studios are located, and say hi to our buddy, Amal Shaw. Amal, welcome. How are you? Tremendous. Tremendous. Good to hear from you.
What's going on?
Are you there?
I didn't know my volume was turned down. I'm sorry. I was watching Rafael Nadal play terribly in Spain right now.
Well, it's...
It's the wide world of sports with him all. He can do everything. I mean, are you a derby guy too?
No. Are you kidding me? We have a hard enough time with the humans. Forget the animals.
That's
a good point.
It's very well put. He's a soccer guy. You watch Real yesterday? That was incredible in Manchester City.
Patrick, I know you're a big soccer fan. The only thing I could compare it to, and I don't even think it's accurate, I thought of potentially the meltdown by Barcelona at Anfield, but that was over the course of 90 minutes. I thought about Bayern missing the Ian Robin penalty kick in Champions League final, giving up the 80th minute goal to Didier Drogba. Thought about the game in 2005 in Milan where Liverpool came back down 3-0. I mean, this is one of the epic collapses of all time. I don't know how you overcome this. You had a great shot to lift the Champions League trophy. I mean, Michael, this is a remnants of the Atlanta Falcons.
In what way? What happened? Tell me.
28-3 in soccer. You got a one-goal lead. They had to give up two goals in 4 minutes, 5 minutes, and Real Madrid scores two goals in about 2.5 minutes, not even. I mean, at this level, to concede two goals that quickly – it's basically like squandering. I don't know, maybe if you equate it to a 28-3 lead, but Patrick, for me, it feels fairly close.
I could not agree more. It's a perfect comparison. Michael, it was taking over the globe yesterday. You know, soccer is so global. And it was, for those in the States, maybe not a big deal outside of me and Amal and a few others. But globally, what was happening yesterday was incredible. It was amazing theater. So, yeah, I was into it as well. And I got to give odds on credit. You guys had a soccer spot on to handicap the match before it went down. So, congratulations there, Amal Shaw.
Well, thank you. Very good segue by you. We got to give a shout out to Dustin Sweetelson for giving us the terrific guest of Christopher Sullivan. We have him on every week. Great personality, great energy, lots of fun.
Okay. We'd love to see it. What are you frustrated about these days?
I'm frustrated about anything. I don't know why people confuse frustration with living in the real world. I don't know. You know, I don't get to live on Fantasy Island where you assume that, hey, you know, I can say this and do that, and I'm going to still be able to get a free cup of coffee. That and $5 will get you the cup of coffee.
So after draft, you've had time to reflect on it. Is there a team that you thought, they look better to me than the media thinks in football? Is there a team that kind of hits you like that?
No, but I thought the team that did extremely well in the draft was the New York Jets, because I thought they got three players that are arguably the best players at their position. Now, you could say you like Stingley over Sauce Gardner, no problem. You might like Drake London or Jameson Williams or Olave over Garrett Wilson. But I think there's a just a plethora of guys you can argue for the one receiver in this draft. And then I thought Breece Hall, in my opinion, Michael, was the clear-cut best running back. And for the Jets to be able to draft these three guys, along with Johnson out of Florida State, I thought they did extremely well. Now, will it translate remains to be seen. But I saw the introductory press conference of the three first-round picks. I was really impressed. I think this is a division that can be there for the taking. Buffalo is obviously going to be the favorite, and rightfully so, with Josh Allen and what they can do for a long time to come. But if Zach Wilson is a guy that they projected to be at the number two pick, this team could be turning the corner eventually, maybe in a year or two.
What do you think of Zach? I mean, that's the great conversation. I mean, what do you think of Zach Wilson? I mean, I kind of was impressed by him down the stretch. I thought he played much better. I thought their offense improved. I wasn't really in love with LaFleur's offense earlier in the season. I thought it was too pedestrian-like and it was too easy. But I actually thought they got better in the second half of the season.
I'm going to defer to you completely on that one. I didn't watch enough of him to really comment. Probably saw them very intermittently, maybe a couple of times a year. I mean, it's hard to watch Jets game, right? On the road, they were getting killed. And most games at home, they were playing against opponents you couldn't care less. Probably the two games that were intriguing last year was against Cincinnati and against Tennessee Titans. But other than that, most of their games were fairly one-sided. So I didn't watch enough of him to be able to really comment and say, hey, this guy's going in the right direction or not. But I like what you said about him. Seems to be a positive and looks like the Jets have something to build on.
Well, the only thing, Patrick, worries me about the Jets, and there's hysteria about them, this great draft. I mean, when you break it down, they won four games. They beat Tennessee in overtime. Tennessee was the depleted team at that point. Remember that game? Tennessee had the lead. The Jets came back. Their other wins came. Then they beat Cincinnati. It's remarkable, but remember in that game in Cincinnati, another one. But then they beat Houston and Jacksonville. I mean, two bad teams. And, they never really played. I mean, they went down to New Orleans and they got whacked 30-9. I mean, you just were wondering, like, what's going on here? Are they ever going to? And my sense was I thought Wilson was getting better, but is he really getting better? I mean, they were just as bad on defense as they were on offense, really, when you break them down. I mean, this defense was ranked 32nd in the league in points allowed. Nobody realizes that. They were 32nd in points allowed,
terrible.
32nd in yards allowed, and they were 31st in creating turnovers. And they were 28th in giving the ball away.
Yeah, there's a lot of love.
It didn't look like a well-coached team to me when you break them down. That's just me.
There's a lot of love for them coming out of the draft. The draft is, it just tells you all about the insatiability that people have for the NFL. So much is made about a complete unknown.
Well, you're absolutely right, but I think the NFL has got a few advantages over the other sports. Hockey, basketball, 82 games. Baseball, 162 games. Really becomes taxing. It's hard for people, they work jobs that they're busy commuting, doing other things, have kids, other lives, to be able to pay attention. The NFL has they've basically taken over Sundays for 20 to 22 weeks of the year. And so we're just so immersed into it that you really pay attention to it. It's easy to follow up with it. Your quarterback's going to stay there a while. College is a sport. College football, I think if you went to a particular school, you have an affinity for it. But if you went to a school that doesn't have a football program, you may not necessarily be as engaged with it. So I think the NFL has got such an ability to stand alone and be so dominant, and it continues to only expand.
Well, put it this way, Michael.
Yeah.
Sunday, the Bucks-Celtics, would they get $5 million? A Sunday night football game gets $15 million?
Yeah, I mean, it's not even close. It's a draft.
It's the number one.
Like crazy. It wasn't even funny.
The Sunday Night Football is the number one rated show for 9 consecutive years.
Yeah.
It's a monster.
I mean, it's just that you can't come close to it. And let's go back to the Jets. It's like everybody just thinks they're automatically going to make this giant mother may I step up here. And, and when you really break them down, and have they improved their team? Yes. But is their team going to be good enough? They couldn't stop anybody. I mean, Indy got 500 yards on them. Philadelphia 418. The Bucks 467. Then they couldn't turn the ball over. The last 5 weeks of the season, they forced 5 turnovers, 3 of them in one game.
Michael, to your point, you're absolutely right. The team has really struggled, and we see that's why they're drafting high in every draft. But I think they look like they built a foundation. You've got to get guys that come in as first-round picks and really have an impact. We'll see if these three guys are able to do that. But I like the fact that they went out and got three guys. We'll see. You know, you got yourself a quarterback. You've got a potential running back. You've got a receiver. Offensive line needs to be addressed, I still think, at some point in time. Defensively, you mentioned it. But now you've got two different levels in which you've tried to bring in guys that can make a difference. And all you can do is draft on what you've seen, what your scouts evaluate. Now, if they pan out, the great. If they don't, you go back to the drawing board. But, you know, I think with the draft, just like the start of training camp, everyone's got rampant optimism. I mean, before the season starts, when, you know, you got two-a-days going on in college football, Rutgers and Maryland think they got a chance to win the Big Ten. Now that when they play their first conference game, they realize they can't. But until that point in time, there's still some optimism.
You know what I said?
No doubt. I'm not down on the Jets. I just think, to me, we have to – like, if they get to 8 wins or 7 wins, I mean, you know, that all of a sudden their roster is better than New England? Come on. Did you look at the numbers last year? If you're saying their roster is better than New England, then you're saying the coach is horrible.
You've maintained all along Robert Saleh is not going to be a particularly good coach. Remains to be seen how he does. I don't know if anybody's implying or suggesting that. But I think whenever you bring in young players, any place, you bring in new people in any job place, there's an infusion of energy that generally is not there with people that have been there for a while. Most workplaces tend to get a little bit stagnant with people that have been there doing the same thing day in and day out and have not maybe seen the results that they would desire.
The funniest tweet, great points by both of you. The funniest tweet yesterday was there was a picture of a bearded Tua, and they were debating the step forward Tua is going to make this year. I thought Michael would get a kick out of that.
No doubt. He's going to dominate. I mean, come on.
The Tua leap.
And if he doesn't, they'll tell you he's going to dominate.
The Tua leap is like when Amal Shaw got to VEASAN and was sitting next to Brent Musburger. That was the Tua leap. Like, you're just on another stratosphere. Yeah. You know what I mean, Amal?
No doubt.
Patrick, you're a very intelligent guy. I expect a little bit better analogy in the future, but that'll work for now.
Meaning you were just on the radar and never went away. We'll see you next time, Amal. We're coming back. Thanks. Lombardi Line.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, First Bet wants you to get in for horse racing's Triple Crown. We talked about this, so you can use the promo code Vegas22, and if you bet at least $25 on the Derby, then you're going to get $25 for both the Preakness and the Belmont free. So that's pretty cool, Vegas22. So free bets, $25 bets for both the Preakness and Belmont. You must sign up, what is it, today, the 5th? You must sign up by the 7th. So by Saturday, using that code Vegas22 to qualify, register today with Vegas22 at VSiN.com/horses. That's VSiN.com/horses. Okay, I am efforting Michael Lombardi. You know Chris Belica. He's texting about the horses. He was texting you as well. He knows a hell of a lot more than I do.
The bear loves the horses.
Oh, he's like,
you know, I got to text Parcells to find out who he likes. I get that for you.
Yeah, because I'm getting Felica's official play right now. I would like to say, like, I know a lot about horse racing. There are people like Felica and others that know a hell of a lot more than me. So I'll be excited to get his plays as well as we welcome in Josh. And then Bill Parcells, I think we say hi to Josh. I think people don't realize Bill Parcells is one of the great coaches of all time in the NFL. His passion is horse racing. I mean,
loves it.
He's obsessed. Doesn't he live up in Saratoga?
I could see why he likes it so much, because it's a very analytical. It's a lot like football. There's a strategy involved. There's the blood. There's the breeding. There's the numbers. There's the workouts. There's, you know, there's a lot that goes into, you know, and certainly it takes more luck. But I could see why it appeals to him.
It's such a process. You know, a lot of those guys are so process oriented, and I would imagine, Josh, we've talked to you about it. Have you ever really gotten into the horse racing?
So, Patrick, Michael, great to be with you. Hopefully we have good hay here, Michael and Patrick. And we got to check on Patrick, by the way, Michael, because he's getting sent out to the Derby. We got to make sure he's, you know, pacing himself on the mint juleps. I want to see a big
Sear
Stucker outfit out of you, Patrick. But I would say I'm not nearly at the level that you are, Patrick. But every, you know, summer, friends and I get together. I'm from Western Mass. You go to Saratoga, which is not far. And really what they taught me is get that book when you first walk in and start looking at the bloodlines in the morning line and comparing the early line to how it moves and getting in your exactas and trifectas. So Patrick, you send me your plays for the Derby and I'll be sure to tell you.
Well, it is a paramutual betting market which, you know, is pooled together and it changes. In Europe, Michael, you can bet the fixed market, which is, it's bet, horse racing's bet a little bit differently. Horse racing in Europe is bet like we bet normal sports here. It's just in the States, horse racing is a parimutuel market, so it's a little bit different. By the way, Felica likes Zandon, the favorite. And if you watch his bluegrass, he goes last to first. It really is super impressive. And he likes the Brad Cox train Cyberknife out of the 16 hole, who won the Arkansas Derby and has had really good speed figures. So that's Chris Felica, who I think gave those official picks with Gil Alexander. And if we can top this show off with our buddy Bill Parcells, that would be record breaking. You're gonna, by the way, well, you're gonna
leave it. Let me do that.
You're gonna have to, you and Millie are gonna have to make a play for Saturday as well. While you're texting, Josh will get into what we have. We had two overs last night in the NBA, and he had the favorites covering. So overs, favorites, I would imagine the public got fat yesterday.
Yeah, they did. And really, Patrick, you know, no NBA today, sadly. You know, I wish the schedule makers would have given us at least a couple games today. But I think it's really important. You know, one thing that's notable to me, guys, is regression. We always talk about it. But when you see one thing happening at a really, really high rate, at some point, you're going to see it kind of come back to the mean. And I think that's what we're seeing with some of these totals. Like, for example, both overs hit yesterday, 2-0. You actually saw some movement to both of these overs. Even though the Miami Heat have cashed a ton of unders, you know, throughout the postseason, this total opened around like 206.5. It ends up closing 209. You have that oversteam. It ends up coming through. Same thing with the Mavs and the Suns, around 215.5 up to 217.5. But that was notable because going into it, guys, unders were cashing at a ridiculous rate. I think they're about 67%. So anytime you identify like, wow, unders are really crushing at this playoffs, don't be so quick to just blindly kind of tail that trend, because if the unders keep cashing, what are the odds makers going to do? They're probably going to set these lines a little bit too low, shade them low, because they know the public will bet these unders anyway. And so you're starting to see maybe some of these overs start to bark a little bit. And same thing with these favorites, guys. Favorites now in the NBA playoffs continue to cash. They're right now 34-24, 60% overall. That chalk may continue, but to me, guys, even though if you look overall, the unders are crushing it, be wary of some regression to these overs, because these odds makers have adjusted these lines downwards so much because these unders keep cashing.
You're right about the schedule makers. Look, I know there's a reason for this, but waiting for the Celtics, Bucks, and Grizzlies, Warriors until Saturday, it feels like an eternity. You know what it does? It loses some of the juice. You know, like
it
those
really
are
does.
Two great series.
You're right.
If we had them tonight, it would be so exciting.
Or put one of the games on at 8 o'clock so that the East Coast can see the Memphis Warriors game, so we could enjoy
That's
it.
Right.
Not have to stay up till, you know, like give us a chance to watch the game, you know, and put it on at 8:30. I mean, why not make them all that way? I you know, like to me, I get they want to do it, you know, but this taking time off, it does. And they were having good momentum. These games are too damn good. I don't understand why the Philly series got heated up and then everything else goes, because I guess they want Philly to be out of it really quickly if it can get it over with.
Well, the second half on Tuesday, Josh, I don't know how you guys stay up that late. The second half of the Grizzlies Warriors on Tuesday, Ja had one of the great halves you're ever going to see. It was riveting basketball. It's on so late. And now we've got to wait 3 days off that game to get into it. It's just, again, I'm sorry. It just doesn't make a ton of sense to me as far as waiting. So anyway, and it'll be 3:30. It's going to be, I guess it'll be on before the Derby, but no, Memphis and Golden State's going to be on during the Derby. Right? Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, mm-hmm. The timing works out that it's going to be on during the Derby. That's a bad job. Josh, do something about that. Call Will Hill and get him on the schedule makers.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was going to say one thing. As a Celtics fan, guys, I'm kind of happy. On the one hand, I wish we had a Celtics game to sweat tonight or even tomorrow, but it does give the Celtics a little bit more time with Marcus Smart to kind of get that injury. And again, it was kind of thought of as a thigh contusion, but you're hearing if you're in Boston, multiple injuries, maybe a shoulder stinger. We saw him, you know, hold his arm and run off the court. He's had a bit of an issue with the knee. What's notable to me, guys, if you like the Boston Celtics going in to now the series shifting to Milwaukee, a lot of these books open Milwaukee around a 2.5-point favorite. They got up to 3, and I'm saying, okay, you know, shift back home. Milwaukee may have some home cooking, but that +3 is now getting juiced up to -115. Like it may get back down to 2.5. And as of right now, you're getting about 3 out of 4 bets on Giannis at home, sweating a short number. So if you get a little more time for Marcus Smart to rest and rehab, maybe the Celtics, you know, they're start to hit their threes now after that game too. If you like Boston, I grab the +3 now. It looks like it's getting down to 2.5.
You know, it's a slow sports day when on the TV here in the studio is Joy Behar and Queen Latifah and The View. So, yeah. I mean, I'm struggling over here. Kevin,
it's
that's
tough.
On you.
It's tough.
That's on you, Kev.
It's tough.
It is tough. You can give us just overall, are you still riding the dogs in the Stanley Cup playoffs here, Josh?
So I kind of am, Patrick, but I would caveat it as I'm leaning more a little bit on a desperation type system. So what I mean by that is if you have any playoff experience where you made it last year and you're down 0-1 or you lose a game, these teams coming back and really kind of fighting back. You saw go 3-1 yesterday where the Oilers were down 0-1. They win that game. My Bruins obviously are in a tough spot right now. It's not looking good for the Bees. But you had Tampa Bay being down 0-1 with playoff experience coming back and winning. Same thing with Minnesota. So one match that I like today, guys, that I'd be looking at, the New York Rangers. Give me the Rangers tonight. They open around a minus 140 favorite. They've been steamed all the way up. This is your biggest line move of the day, all the way to minus 160. And if you look at those teams in a desperation spot off a loss, 3-1 so far this playoffs, you look at the last 15 years or so, they're 52%, but almost around 15% ROI. They've done very, very well. The angle here, guys, they went to triple overtime in the first game. The Rangers obviously lose that one, but they're going to play Pittsburgh tonight. Louis Domingue, he's about their third or fourth string goalie here, and you do have a lot of movement toward the Rangers. I'll sweat the Rangers. I'll go puck line, Patrick, on the Colorado Avs. You're getting a third string goalie with Ingram here for the Nashville Predators. And then also keep an eye on the under in the Dallas-Calgary game. That's a 5.5 total. It's the lowest on the board, but it's juiced up under minus 115. And you do have a 1-0 game in game one, but also Dallas is one of your best under teams this year. They're the second lowest scoring team in the playoffs. And they play great defense as well. I'll be looking at the under 5.5 with the Flame Stars.
So let me get this straight. The Penguins and Rangers can play three overtimes on Tuesday, come back and play Thursday night, yet the Warriors and Grizzlies and Celtics and Bucks play Tuesday and are playing on Saturday. I don't think we're making a big enough deal. It's a 4-day break. It's a joke.
I mean, the hockey and the season, once they award the Stanley Cup for hockey, a week later they're going to start the preseason. I mean, they give them no time off.
All I know is sudden death in hockey. Growing up as a Detroit Red Wing fan, it's not even fun in the postseason when they go to extras. When they go to overtime, Josh, it's like literally, it's not enjoyable as a home fan.
It really is. Your heart's in your throat. It's simultaneously the best and the worst thing in the world, Patrick. I know we're up against it real quick, guys. One thing that we're seeing in Major League Baseball, betting against the Cincinnati Reds. They're the worst team in the league by far, only 3-21. If you actually bet against them on the run line, you've cashed a ton of bets so far. I know it's kind of a chalky play, but I think Michael does a good job of identifying teams to maybe bet against versus bet on. I'm betting against the Reds for the foreseeable future. I'm laying it with Milwaukee today. Milwaukee got a big steam move, minus 190 up to around minus 230.
Yeah, the offseason moves for the Reds kind of demoralized that team, and they're playing like they're not happy to be there. And they've got a long summer to go. Josh, Market Insights is the pod. Yes, get that glove out.
Where's
Mr. Mark Baseball.
Schott? Where's Mark Schott?
Mark Schott's dropping racial epithets up in heaven right now. We're coming back. Lombardi Line.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever
you get your podcast.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, it's BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. Unleash the spirit of Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn reward points, kind of like your credit card. You see it there, redeemable for online bonuses or converted into comps at MGM Resorts nationwide. So check it out. Make sure you sign up for the loyalty program over at BetMGM.com or download the app. 1-800-GAMBLER if you have an issue. Must be 21 years or older. Michael Lombardi there in Jersey. I'm Patrick Maher here in Vegas as we welcome you back here on the Lombardi Line. So,
Patrick?
Yes, please.
I got clarification. So, from somebody in the league, Harden had a deadline to pick up the player option. He didn't do it. He now has to do it by July 1.
July 1st.
So I don't understand. It's really not a deadline, but he didn't do it originally when he came. They said he was going to do it, but he never did. Now he's got to do it at July 1st.
So now it comes down to
by July 1st.
He and Maury in a room together deciding, are they going to go 1 year and then decide based on performance if they give him the max or if they're going to max him out now, which Harden would probably take because he's got to understand his body and understand that he's never, who's going to pay him a max after this? Who?
If I were the owner of the 76ers and Maury made any deal other than the deal that he's already made, which is to get the player's option, I would fire Maury. Like, it's negligence. You
totally
can't throw away my money like that. So if you said to him, I'll get you on a 2-year deal at $100 million, that's, you're giving away $53 million of my money. Like, seriously, if we're into this for $47 because he picks up his option, it's a mistake that we have to live with. I get that. But we don't have to live with any other mistake that we could potentially add to the basket.
Yeah. Negligence is a good way of putting it. Because
it's malpractice. It's malpractice if you do that. I mean, the evidence is overwhelmingly and I'm critical of Doc, but it's overwhelmingly that he can't do it. Now, look, we've seen this before in the NBA where we know Westbrook's done, but teams still trade him and pay him. So we see it all the time. I mean, it's not like it's uncommon, but this one you're pretty much aware of, right?
Unless you're blind, like what's going on right now. And we talked about it earlier, the ascendance of Maxey. Like, you're literally going to max out a player to be your third option and a declining asset. He's depreciating. Like, there's no, like,
yeah,
he's on that side. That trend is going way down. So you can't pay. It would be negligent.
Right. It would be complete negligence. It would be you're not paying attention. I mean, it's one thing to misevaluate the player. And so if you said, okay, I'm going to get, you know, we'll get Mike D'Antonio in here and he'll change the way this guy plays and we'll play. Okay, great. If that's what you want to do to save this, go ahead. That's 40. But we're not doing any more than that.
So you corrected that for me. Can I correct myself? Remember when you were asking about, we said a mile and a quarter is 10 furlongs and these horses, you know, they've run 9 furlongs before. And I said an extra furlong, I don't know, a football field. I was just grasping. It's actually 220 yards. So think about that, Michael.
So it's two football fields.
It's two football.
It's the end zone and another field.
So that's a long distance if you think about it. That's why the mile and a quarter is tough to get. Remember, they go mile and a quarter, and then the Preakness is shorter, and then they go a mile and a half at the Belmont. It's
That's why you've only seen.
I wonder why they do that. Why do they do that? Why don't they just build up to the crescendo? I guess they just truly want to challenge.
They want to challenge the horses, and they do it in 4 weeks. You know, like there's nothing like the Triple Crown, because, I mean, you think about why the miss of Baffert is such a big deal. First off, when you and Millie turn on Saturday, the Kentucky Derby for the last 25 years, Lucas have been the face of the sport. So casual observers, when they turn on the Kentucky Derby, they've seen Bob Baffert. He's not going to be there this year. So that's a big thing. But also this, until 2015, 11 horses in the history of the sport had won the Triple Crown. And 77 was the last time it had happened. Baffert trained American Pharoah in 15. He trained Justify in 18. So he's got the 12th and 13th in the history of the sport Triple Crown winners. So, like, and we just talked about what a gauntlet it is to go. And also remember, it's not just the short time in between the races. It's the travel from Churchill to the Preakness, to Belmont, up in New York. Like, this is a lot on a three-year-old horse.
No doubt. And it'll be interesting to see. If I was in the television business, I would try to find a way to get is Baffert even allowed to have a crew in his house?
That's a great question.
You know he's going to be watching, right?
That's a great question. And I told you when you were in studio.
Wouldn't you want to have kind of like go to his home and interview him and talk to him about
the Manning cast, the Baffert cast.
That's what you should have, the Baffert cast. Let him go through the races for you.
That's
who
brilliant.
Wouldn't watch that?
That is brilliant. I didn't even think about that. And nobody's better talking the sport. It's almost like, you know how you and I joke when Belichick and Saban aren't in the mix and they actually do TV, you learn more by listening to them than anybody else that's on TV. Like Baffert, you're going to learn more from him than anybody else.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, because he's got practical experience. It's one of my flaws with the draft. I mean, we send all these people up there on stage that have no practical experience in the draft room. I mean, you know, what we were talking about, I finally tallied the numbers up. I mean, when Minnesota traded down, you know, they lost 280 points in that trade, Patrick. And when I finally tallied it up, they lost 280 points.
Oh, they did lose value.
They lost it when I finally tallied it up.
I did not realize that. Okay. Because we were talking about it in studio, and I made you do it quickly on the spot. So they did lose value. Wow. It didn't make sense in the moment. You said that in the moment you didn't like it.
Yeah, and so I just got a text from somebody in the league who just told me that Maury will pay Harden anything.
Anything he wants.
Anything.
It's a wonderful relationship.
That's the feeling in the league.
Hey, find somebody that loves you like Maury loves Harden, and you're going to have a fruitful life.
I mean, like, I don't know how you could sit there as the owner of the team and let that continue on. That's a fireable offense.
Incredible.
Because you're going to destroy the franchise, right?
I think malpractice is... What did you say? Call it negligence? I think that's the word.
Negligence.
If you're going to pay Harden, look, he has the right to pick up the $47 million, and you bought into that when you traded him. But beyond that, negligence.
Yeah.
So that's that. Can I play a clip for you quickly?
Sure.
Because we haven't got your reaction to this. Let's go ahead and run it there, Matt Santos.
We're competing against each other. We're you know, watching the same tape. We're doing the same drills. I don't think it's my job to mentor him, but, you know, if he learns from me along the way, then that's a great thing.
Tannehill talking Willis. We haven't heard your reaction. What do you think?
I think what he said is absolutely 1,000% right. It's not his job. That's why we pay coaches. What his job is to be a pro. And through his osmosis of being a pro, through the observation, Willis has to watch him. It's what Van Gundy said the other night on television I thought was brilliant. You can't lead if you can't play. Like, you can't be a great leader if you can't play. Like, there's no leaders in any sport that sit on the bench. So you've got to, what Tannehill's got to be able to do is do what he does. Show him how to work hard. Do the things that he has to do. As I was writing up Unitas today, Unitas was pretty clear. When he went to the first training camp, he saw that all the quarterbacks had these extensive notes on these players, and he didn't have them. You know, and so he felt like he was behind. And so he wanted to make sure from that point forward. So he was learning how to become a pro from watching other people. That's what you do. Tom Brady never could care less whether he wasn't going to take Jimmy Garoppolo under his wing. He was certainly friendly with Garoppolo. They had a partnership. They did things together. But there was a separate. I mean, we're competing against one another. Like, I don't know why anybody's upset with Tannehill on that notion. I applaud him for it.
I like your take. It's a little too sensitive to be attacking him. Did you hear what he said, by the way, that after that playoff loss, he went to a really dark place? And I give him credit for admitting that, right? And that comes from what he's talking about there. He's a competitive dude that really took that loss hard, and he's not interested in coaching somebody right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think what happened was exactly what we said here on the show was he was programmed, and he didn't program himself. I mean, the first throw of the game, can't make that throw. I mean, they're playing the – this is kind of almost like at mass the Bengals. They played their worst game of the year, maybe the game that they played against the Jets as well, but and they still had a chance to win that game.
They did.
I mean, McPherson makes all those kicks outside of 50 yards. Give him credit. But this Titan team, we were talking about on the pod today, Patrick, they're a funny team because I never like them. I don't think they're talented enough, but this coach really gets
Rabel
them.
Rabel does a great
job. He'll
job.
Develop the players. He'll develop the players, there's no doubt.
Well, Simmons, I mean, think about it. Like, you're right. He develops. You've really sold me on him as a coach. And it's shocking, too, because remember, as a DC, he had a very mediocre year the 1 year he called plays at the Texans.
But some guys are better leaders as head coaches than they are as assistant coaches.
That's a good point.
And some guys are bad. Some guys are really good assistants. They can't be head coaches. Dick LeBeau, for example. Great coach. Bad head coach.
Parcells, great delegator who knew everything, but maybe better as a delegator than as a specific guy, right?
No doubt.
Enjoy the
I will
derby.
Send you once I hear back from him.
I'd love to hear, Michael. Enjoy your day. I'll talk to you soon, okay?
Thanks, Patrick.
Okay, Odds On is coming up next here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.